Welcome to the GCSE PE Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into one of the most important theory topics on the OCR GCSE Physical Education Specification, Engagement Patterns. That's topic 6.1, Factors Influencing Participation in Sport. Whether you're sitting foundation or higher tier, this topic comes up every single year. So grab your revision notes, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Section 1, What are Engagement Patterns? So first things first, what do we actually mean by engagement patterns? Simply put, engagement patterns describe who participates in sport and physical activity, how often they participate, and crucially, why some groups participate less than others. The OCR specification asks you to analyze participation across four key social groups: gender, age, ethnicity, and disability. For each group, you need to understand the barriers that reduce participation and the strategies that can be used to increase it. Think of it this way. If you looked at a sports center on a Tuesday morning, you might notice it's mostly older adults swimming. On a Saturday afternoon, it's mostly young men playing football. On a Sunday morning, maybe a few women doing yoga. These patterns aren't random. They're shaped by social, economic, and cultural factors. That's what this topic is all about. Section 2, the four social groups. Let's go through each group in turn. Group 1. Gender. Historically, women have participated in sport less than men. Why? There are several key reasons. First, stereotyping. Some sports are still perceived as masculine. Think rugby, boxing, or weightlifting. Women who participate in these sports may face social judgment or be told it's not for them. This is a social barrier. Second, media coverage. Women's sport receives significantly less media coverage than men's sport. When you don't see athletes who look like you on TV, it's harder to feel inspired to take part. This links directly to role models. If there are no visible female role models in a sport, fewer girls will aspire to participate. Third, family commitments. Research consistently shows that women carry a disproportionate share of childcare and domestic responsibilities, which reduces the time and energy available for sport. Now, and this is a key exam point, don't just say women face barriers. You need to be specific. Say something like, women may be deterred from participating in contact sports due to gender stereotyping, which portrays such activities as inappropriate for females. Initiatives like This Girl Can, launched by Sport England, have been hugely successful in challenging these stereotypes. In your evaluate questions, you should comment on the effectiveness of such campaigns. For example, This Girl Can reached over 7 million women in its first campaign and significantly increased female participation. Group 2. Age. Participation in sport tends to peak in the teenage years and early adulthood, then decline with age. For young people, barriers might include cost of equipment, lack of transport to facilities, or limited provision of youth sport in their area. For older adults, those over 50 or 60, barriers are different. Physical decline, fear of injury, lack of suitable facilities, and social isolation can all reduce participation. Many older adults also lack confidence to join mainstream sports clubs. However, initiatives like the Masters Games, Walking Football, and Age UK's activity programs have been specifically designed to increase participation among older adults. Remember, when discussing age, always distinguish between different age groups. Young people face different barriers to elderly people. Examiners will credit you for being specific. Group 3. Ethnicity. Candidates often find this the trickiest group to discuss, but it's actually very logical once you understand the key barriers. First, lack of role models. If a young person from an ethnic minority background doesn't see athletes who look like them competing at the highest level, they may not feel sport is for them. This is particularly relevant in sports like swimming and cycling, which have historically low representation from Black and Asian athletes. Second, cultural and religious factors. For some communities, mixed-gender sports sessions may conflict with religious or cultural values. Dress codes in certain sports may also be a barrier. For example, hijab-wearing Muslim women may feel unwelcome in some sporting environments. Third, discrimination. This is different from stereotyping. Discrimination is active, unfair treatment based on ethnicity. Stereotyping is an assumption or prejudice. Make sure you know the difference. Examiners specifically penalize candidates who confuse these two terms. Initiatives like Sporting Equals and the Football Association's Kick It Out campaign work to address racism and promote inclusion in sport. Group 4, Disability. For disabled participants, barriers fall into two main categories, and this is a key distinction the examiners want you to make. Physical barriers include lack of accessible facilities, absence of adapted equipment, no wheelchair access, no changing facilities for disabled users. Logistical barriers include cost of specialist equipment, transport difficulties, lack of adapted coaching, and insurance issues. The key point here is that disability is not a barrier in itself, it's the environment and the system that creates barriers. A wheelchair user is not prevented from playing sport by their wheelchair, they're prevented by a sports hall with no ramp access or a club that has no adapted program. Initiatives like the Paralympic Games, Disability Sport Wales, and the English Federation of Disability Sport have all worked to increase participation. The legacy of London 2012 is often cited as a turning point for disability sport visibility in the UK. Section 3, the Golden Triangle. Now let's talk about one of the most important concepts in this topic, the Golden Triangle. The Golden Triangle describes the relationship between sport, media, and sponsorship or commerce. Here's how it works. Media coverage of sport. Think Sky Sports, the BBC, BT Sport, attracts large audiences. Those large audiences attract commercial sponsors who pay money to have their brand associated with the sport. That sponsorship money funds the sport, allowing it to develop, improve facilities, and attract more participants. Better sport attracts more media coverage, and the cycle continues. Now, why does this matter for engagement patterns? Because the Golden Triangle primarily benefits high-profile, commercially attractive sports. Football, rugby, tennis, cricket. Sports with lower media coverage receive less sponsorship, which means less funding, fewer facilities, and ultimately lower participation rates. This disproportionately affects sports popular with women, disabled athletes, and ethnic minority communities, which historically receive less media coverage. So the Golden Triangle can actually reinforce existing inequalities in participation. For top marks in an evaluate question, you should argue that while the Golden Triangle drives investment in elite sport, it can widen the gap between well-funded and underfunded sports, potentially reducing participation in minority sports. Section 4, strategies to increase participation. The specification requires you to know about three key strategies: promotion, provision, and access. Remember these with the acronym PPA. Promotion means raising awareness and changing attitudes. Examples include Sport England's This Girl Can campaign, the Sainsbury's School Games, and national governing body social media campaigns. Provision means creating new opportunities and facilities. Examples include building new leisure centers, offering free swimming for under 16s, and creating adapted sports programs. Access means removing barriers that prevent people from participating. Examples include subsidized gym memberships, free transport to sports events, and ensuring facilities are wheelchair accessible. National governing bodies, or NGBs, play a crucial role here. Each sport has an NGB responsible for growing participation. For example, the Football Association runs programs like Wildcats for girls' football. British Cycling runs Go Ride for young cyclists. England Athletics runs Run Together for adult beginners. In AO2 application questions, you'll be asked to apply your knowledge to a specific scenario. If the question says, suggest how an NGB could increase participation among elderly women in swimming, you'd reference provision of women-only sessions, promotion through social media targeting that demographic, and access improvements like subsidized entry fees. Section 5, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. Common mistake 1. Generalizing without linking to a specific group. If you write, lack of money is a barrier to participation, that's worth 0 marks. You need to write, individuals from lower socioeconomic backgrounds may lack the disposable income required to pay for gym memberships, specialist equipment, or travel to facilities. Always be specific. Common mistake 2. Confusing discrimination and stereotyping. Stereotyping is an assumption women aren't strong enough for rugby. Discrimination is action. A club refuses to allow women to join. Know the difference. Common mistake 3. Describing initiatives without evaluating them. In a discuss or evaluate question, you must make a judgment. Don't just say, this girl can increase participation. Say, this girl can increase participation among women aged 14 to 40, However, its impact on older women and women from ethnic minority backgrounds was less significant, suggesting further targeted campaigns are needed.
Command words to watch. Identify? Just name it. One or two words, one mark each. Describe? Say what it is. Use subject vocabulary. Explain? Say how or why. This is where you link cause and effect. Evaluate. Make a judgment. Weigh up strengths and weaknesses. Discuss. Explore multiple perspectives. Come to a conclusion. For a six-mark discuss question, aim for three developed points. Each point should have a statement, an explanation, and ideally an example or piece of evidence. Section 6, quick fire, recall, quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask a question, give you 5 seconds to think, then I'll give the answer. Question 1, name the three strategies used to increase participation in sport. 5 seconds. The answer is promotion, provision, and access, PPA. Question 2, what are the three parts of the Golden Triangle? 5 seconds. Sport, media, and sponsorship or commerce. Question 3. What is the difference between a physical barrier and a logistical barrier for disabled participants? 5 seconds. A physical barrier relates to the environment, like lack of ramps or adapted facilities. A logistical barrier relates to practical issues like cost, transport, or lack of adapted coaching. Question 4. Name one NGB initiative designed to increase female participation in sport. 5 seconds. The Football Association's Wildcats program or Sport England's This Girl Can campaign. Question 5. What does AO3 assess in this topic? 5 seconds. AO3 assesses your ability to interpret and analyze data on participation trends. For example, reading a graph showing participation rates by gender over time and drawing conclusions. Section 7. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. In this episode, we've covered the four social groups, gender, age, ethnicity, and disability, and the specific barriers each group faces. We've explored the Golden Triangle and how media and sponsorship influence participation. We've looked at the PPA strategies, promotion, provision, and access, and the role of national governing bodies. And we've gone through key exam technique tips to help you maximize your marks. The most important thing to remember is this: always be specific. Link every barrier to a specific group. Link every strategy to a specific example. And in evaluate questions, always make a judgment. Don't just describe, analyze. The assessment objectives for this topic are AO1 at 40%, AO2 at 30%, and AO3 at 30%. So knowledge is important, but so is application and data interpretation. Practice all three. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. See you in the next episode.